Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 4th of March, and I'm recording at, it's 10:25 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, another really interesting day here, overall. As I'm sure you will be aware, Vladimir Putin withdrew the troops that had been virtually everywhere in Crimea as quickly as he'd placed them out there. And markets celebrated, feeling that the worst was over. And so we saw big rallies here today. To give you an idea, Asia saw the least of the rallies. I think it the news really hadn't presumably all come through by that stage. But at any rate, Japan was higher, Australia was higher, moderate gains. China region saw very small losses. The other markets were Asian Pacific markets were higher, and India, one of the best gains, up over 1.25%, and also the Indian rupee was a little lower as low as well, getting back under that 62 rupees to the US dollar level where the central bank wants it to be. Now, the biggest declines yesterday were in Europe, and Europe had the biggest gains here today with, well, as far as the continental European markets are concerned, it's 2% or more, even 3%. For the FTSE MIB, that's the Italian index, up 3.6%. But as I say, all the others that I can see on my screen were up well over 2%. In the UK, a decent rally here, 1.72%. So that's really virtually offsetting and more yesterday's declines. Now, also on Wall Street blasted higher here today, up 1.4% for the Dow. The other indices were higher. The Nasdaq, the Russell 2000, the S&P 500, they all pushed through to new highs for this move. For the S&P, those are new all-time highs. For the Nasdaq indices, those are not they're approaching their old 2000 highs. So, what do we make of that overall? Well, I would just make one observation. I'll make several observations, but what was interesting is at first Putin used a 19th to early 20th century tactic in pushing all those troops into Crimea on Monday. And I think he could have easily gone further with that exercise had he not been more severely punished by the 21st century financial markets. In other words, on Monday, international investment institutions and wealthy people, possibly including a few Russian oligarchs, pulled between $50 to $60 billion out of the country within a few hours. Now that's a heavy price to pay. And although Russia rallied today, it did not regain all that it had lost yesterday, and it had been coming down the few days before the actual incident this week. And therefore, it was a muted response relative to those that we have seen in the developed country markets. So I think that's really an interesting change which we're actually seeing here, that financial markets have grown considerably in their overall importance. Another factor that I would mention is that the speed with which these short-term, very short-term trends fluctuate And that is extremely high, and we can associate a lot of that. Well, it's certainly encouraged by the high frequency trading that that actually takes place. It makes trading more exciting, and I think also more difficult in the very short term, because veteran subscribers will recall how incidents of this nature used to take several days to shape up, if not longer, and one could see it coming, and also they would be unwound on a somewhat slower basis. But no more in our modern world of instant communication and lots of very mechanized trading, which actually dominates the daily volume, as I'm sure you also realize. I think what it also suggests is that despite some high valuations, high-ish valuations on Wall Street, particularly in the tech sector, and despite some real tensions here, that big monetary tailwind, all that liquidity, it's sloshing around in the system, and it's coming from the U.S. despite the tapering. There's still a lot of money still going into the system, and coming also, of course, from Japan, coming from the U.K. And a number of other countries. The generally low interest rates, not everywhere, but in certainly within developed countries, very low interest rates that we see, is still a very powerful tailwind for stock markets. Personally, if I just digress for a moment, because I did add some hedge shorts yesterday, fortunately small, and in the S&P, and I'm a little annoyed with myself because I think that I didn't pay enough attention really to what was actually happening in the Russian markets when I actually did that. And had I done so, I think I probably would have held back. Might not be a bad idea to come in here at these levels, but I'm not going to add to that position. But again, I only mention that because I hope that no subscribers. I hope that by the time you got the news that you weren't getting caught out by the activity that was taking place in the markets. But overall, going back to the Russian, Crimean, Ukrainian impasse here, I don't think this is over by any means. And Putin is playing a little bit of chess in terms of the activities of, in addition to the reason that I gave for him pulling back temporarily. But I just on television that the BBC News report going on, and a tense confrontation between some Ukrainian troops and some Russian, heavily armed Russian troops who seemed, this was filmed that the BBC was showing, and they were they seemed fairly aggressive. So again, the intimidation policies and so on, I think, are likely to continue. I think that we're going to see other problems here in the days and weeks and possibly months ahead. And I don't think we need to be hugely worried about that, but it is a factor that can destabilize markets in the short term, or can add to the volatility, can create some setbacks. And the greater risks, though, I think would only occur if we see energy prices pushing sharply higher as a result of some of these tensions. Hopefully that won't happen. And just so I don't overlook it, I'll also mention that energy prices gave up most of yesterday's gains in here today. So what else is going on in the stock markets? Well, all strong gains, as I mentioned, except for the China region. And government bond yields, they shot up quite sharply here today. A little upward dynamics on those yields. And let me just see what that did for the US, let's see, GG10. This is a live show here, as you can tell, as I'm talking about the code to myself. Pushed up to, well, put it this way, yesterday, the US 10-year yield, government yield, it had closed just below the 2.6 level. And so today, small upward dynamic, but 2.6977 at this minute. Now, in terms of currencies, the U.S. dollar, which is strong yesterday, and it's steady in here overall today, although not dramatically higher. Precious metals. Interesting. We've had a divergence here because platinum, very strong, closed at 763.75. Now it's still within a big multi-month range, but have a look at that on the charts, because sorry, I said platinum. I beg your pardon. Palladium. Palladium. Let me start all over again. Getting excited and getting ahead of myself. Palladium, very strong today, up 13.75 to $763.75. Dollars. Now it's still in a broad multi-month trading range, which was sort of a narrowing configuration with some lower highs and higher lows. And it's broken that sequence of lower rally highs. Now, palladium, throughout the big setback that we've seen over the last couple of years or more in precious metals, and palladium has persistently been the strongest performer overall. And this looks like it's going to be an upward break. Owen also has written about it and posted the chart here today. But that might be a long trade. I will be following that with interest. And certainly my best trades this year have been in these fast-moving commodity markets, which have continued to recover. But elsewhere, in the precious metals, platinum was a little bit higher, $3 higher, 1463.80, nearly 1460.64. And but gold was down $16, fell back to 1334. It was quite strong yesterday. I think up was it up about 30? I think so. And silver currently down 31 as I speak, back to 21.175. I would be surprised if gold and silver came much lower. They could come a little bit lower, and they were short-term overbought. But I think, given the overall technical pattern and given the overall news background, money sloshing around, I think these are in a recovery mode, as are so many commodities generally. And a point I've often made in these broadcasts and also in my written copy is that commodities, particularly industrial commodities, are classic late in the cycle movers in these markets, late in the cycle of global bull markets in particular. And you will have noticed the number of mining shares that are looking really quite steady overall. They're either steady within ranging base formations or have already pushed up out of those patterns, and that includes some of the leading uraniums. Interesting, not least Cameco. Now, again, these strong agricultural commodities. And I don't attribute this to what's taking place in the Ukraine, although the Ukraine is a very, very big producer of wheat in particular. And hopefully that doesn't get affected. But the weather developments that we've seen around the world here with much too much water in most of Europe, and that extreme cold activity that we're seeing in the U.S. growing regions. I'll be very surprised, and drought that we're getting in Central and South America. I will be very surprised if that doesn't push these agricultural commodity prices higher. And I'm just looking at things like corn and wheat today. Well, corn is particularly strong, up another nearly 14 cents to 4.84, and wheat is up a little less than that in percentage terms, but they've been rising from what were quite low levels towards the end of last year. And they're also rising during a period when activity in these markets is usually quite low because it's ahead of the Western growing seasons. But we've already got those bad conditions in Brazil and other South American markets. And I think in the European area, we'll be fortunate to see crops sown on time, given the very, very wet conditions that we have actually seen. So I think these trades have further to go. Now, anything else that is relevant in here? No, I think that's touched pretty much on the highlights. Industrial metals were mostly a little bit easier in here today, and that CCI index probably gave up some of its gains. I will just put that up. So I hadn't looked at, no, it went upwards again today. That's a cumulative commodity index. I guess it was the grains that pushed that up the most. But consider that really the big question was in the fourth quarter of last year was would the lows down near 500, those psychological lows, and then go back to June, were they going to hold near 500 for that index? Well, tonight it closed at 561, and that's important for two reasons. Clearly we have at least a low of medium-term significance, as I've said before. The gains in February and so far in March have been explosive to the upside by that index. Have a look at it, CCI, in the chart library, and I also post it regularly on the site. So again, that confirms this, at least a medium-term low, and also it has really drawn an end to that commodity bear market cycle. Now, weather conditions, the key factor here behind the strength of the agricultural commodities, which have been the biggest movers behind this run to the upside. And that's still not over, but we also have that basing activity in the metals as well. So that means that commodity prices have been both a trading opportunity, but they are also going to make some contribution to the cost of living if this persists, as I suspect it will over the medium term. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.